Yay, it's the first podcast of 2024. Welcome back, my AOWs. I'm so excited to be with you today. Today's episode, as always, was inspired by several of my patients who recently came to see me in clinic and said, I'm not having hot flashes, and so are my symptoms still valid? And what we're talking about today is that menopause is more than just hot flashes. This is really, really important. I want to get into this, so join me in today's show.
Hi, and welcome to Health by Heather Hirsch, a podcast dedicated to uncovering many of the women's health issues many of us are wondering about, but few of us are talking about. My mission is to expose the current gaps in knowledge and care on all things women's health. Enjoy.
If you love the show and you're dying to work with me, there is a couple of different ways that you can do so. First, I have an incredible menopause course. It's called the Reclaiming Menopause Masterclass. And don't be fooled, it also is for women in perimenopause. In this course, I teach you how to thrive. It's my signature method to help you figure out what HRT regimen is best and right for you and how to make adjustments and then how to get this from your own doctor. Now, I also see patients in my private telemedicine clinic. I have a license in several states and I'm always working on more. You can go to my website, heatherhirschmd.com, to find out if you want to take the course and join our incredible Facebook group with monthly lives or work with me one-on-one. Now, I hope I get the chance to work with you. And thank you so much for listening to the show. I can simply not believe how incredible of a year 2023 was. I hope you got the chance to listen to my episode last week, just reviewing how far as a society women in midlife have come in terms of better understanding our bodies, the use of hormone replacement therapy, shared decision making, how many companies are started surrounding perimenopause and menopause and sexual health. We really have come so far. But I also realize that I might live in a little bit of a bubble. And by that, what I mean is because I talk about menopause, HRT, and perimenopause. I get to see patients every single day, improve their quality of life. It feels like everybody knows this. And I do have to have those moments and remind myself that no, not everyone is getting excellent care everywhere. it just seems like it because of just the world in which I kind of exist and the way in which I talk and the people that I talk to that are in my sphere. Today, we're talking about menopause being more than just hot flashes. And as I was saying in the intro, my patients always inspire me. And it's not always my patients. Sometimes it's a comment in the DMs or it's another, reel that I saw. Lots of things, lots of content inspires me. But as I see patients, and my patients know this, so smile if this has ever happened to you, as they tell me something that just really vibes with me of like, oh my gosh, this will make a great reel. I'll always say that. You know, I'll pull up my content, Google Docs, and sort of write a snippet down of what I want to say. And it's beautiful because truly the inspiration for the content always comes back around. It always comes from you and then hopefully to you. But recently I've had patients come into my office and say, I'm not really even having hot flashes, or I didn't think this was perimenopause or menopause because I wasn't having hot flashes. And this is really interesting concept. Is something that is very important, because when peri and menopause are diminished to just the experience of hot flashes, or maybe not just diminished, but that's what's portrayed in the media, in the movies, as just hot flashes, it means that some of the other symptoms you may have, it starts to become harder to put it together and or associate it with the hormonal fluctuations and ultimately decline, which is the perimenopause to menopause experience. Now, this is going to make a lot more sense if I give you some specific examples. So one of the patients that I saw, or an example, could be someone who's coming to me saying, I'm having irregular periods, brain fog, fatigue, low libido. You know, and she was told this could just be depression. This could be chronic fatigue syndrome. And for many years, she struggled with these symptoms. She stumbled upon a post on social media that made her think, could this be perimenopause? Could this be my hormones instead of neurologic, which would be more of the anxiety or the depression? And we started her on hormone therapy. She came back in 3 months and she felt so much better. Not perfect. And striving for perfection, there's always problems in that. But she felt so much better. And what this did was affirm to her, even though I certainly did that together in her visit, that this was hormonally mediated. This was hormonal. So let's just break that down for a second. So fatigue and low motivation and low libido, these are very common. But common things happen commonly, and 100% of women will go through perimenopause and menopause. And we know that this fluctuation and then ultimate decline in hormones has never been viewed through the lens of how it is clinically experienced by women. It's just kind of been a thing that's been siloed. Oh yeah, your hormones decline and then you stop having periods. There's this old TikTok. Actually, when I first got on TikTok, it was 2021, which is crazy because it feels like yesterday, but that was like, almost 3 years ago. And one of the very first TikToks I did was kind of this green screen in the background of like a med school auditorium or what looks like kids sitting in a college classroom. And I put my white coat on and get in front of the green screen and said, okay, today's your menopause lesson, guys. Menopause is when periods stop. Okay. Saved by the bell. It was kind of a meme or a joke that's all we learn about menopause. And then if this lesson were to go to menopause 102, it could be, and you get hot flashes. Okay, class adjourned, And so for so long, women's symptoms have been diminished. Women certainly feel gaslighted. In fact, I did a whole podcast, maybe it was last year or the year before, on medical gaslighting. I don't necessarily think that it happens maliciously. I think that it happens because as a society, we don't take women's complaints seriously. Oh, you're a mom. You're just tired. Oh, you just do too much around the house. You're just, fatigued. Of course, your libido's low because, your partner's not putting the dishes away. Now, all of those things can certainly be true and contribute, but the impact of the physiologic changes that are cellularly happening from head to toe because of the loss of our, quote, sex hormones is real. And it has never in a real way validated the symptoms that women have. And the harm to this is that they don't ever get treated properly. And they just walk around thinking that they're just lazy or they're just not doing enough. Or worse, you're not exercising the right way. If you exercised the right way, you wouldn't be so fatigued. And then you would naturally boost your testosterone and you would just feel better. These are messages that women are constantly gotten. It's either you're overreacting or you're not doing something right. You need to just suck it up. This is natural. And if you're not having hot flashes, that further solidifies that. Because hot flashes are what's associated with menopause, right? And perimenopause by extension. Menopause and perimenopause, I'm going to start saying menopause, but I mean both, is so much more than hot flashes. Hot flashes actually are basically an internal clue. It's actually almost like probably it's not so far off to say that hot flashes are your body's last warning. I jokingly kind of just came up with that, but it kind of could actually make sense. We diminish the menopausal experience when we call hormones, specifically estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, sex hormones, right? It really makes us believe that all they do is help us with pregnancy and reproduction and having sex or breast tissue or lactation, and that is it. And we have estrogen receptors from head to toe that impact the way we think, how we function, our mood, our hair, our vision, our hearing, our heart health, our blood vessel health, our gut health, our vaginal pelvic floor, our vaginal microbiome, probably the way our skin looks, on and on and on, neurologic functioning, estrogen, probably also testosterone and progesterone, play huge roles in this. And the only reason I stuttered and said the word probably is because it's not like there's tons of studies on this. There's barely, if any, studies on estrogen and its impact on mood, which is obvious. If you sat in my seat and you were treating women for a decade, it is obvious estrogen's impact on mood. The other thing that comes to light here, and I posted this on TikTok, and I think I said, you know, menopause is more than just hot flashes. And someone commented and said, yeah, but doctors will only prescribe HRT if you're having hot flashes. And this in lies the next big problem when we think of menopause as just hot flashes. Here's the truth of the matter. The FDA is not like in love with HRT, right? Because there is this pervasive, patriarchal, misogynistic idea that estrogen is dangerous and harmful. And the reason I say that so confidently is because there is a plethora of evidence to the contrary, much of which I spent this podcast and all of my social media debunking. So you're welcome to go back and listen to some of those older podcasts if you're like, wait, what? This might be a hard one to be like your first show, but there's a plethora of evidence to the contrary that hormone therapy is not dangerous. And we can talk about why there's biases. In fact, that would make a whole great episode on like why doctors are stuck and clinicians are stuck in this loop. What hormone therapy is FDA approved for is hot flashes, night sweats, vaginal dryness, genitourinary syndrome of menopause. I said those two interchangeably, and osteopenia. Hot flashes, night sweats, GSM, and osteopenia. Now, what hormone therapy is not FDA approved for is things like brain fog, mood, joint aches and pains, motivation, libido. Those are some of the symptoms. Studies have shown it can help with the prevention of heart disease, decreasing the risk of heart attacks, decreasing the risk of diabetes, and improving longevity, but it's not FDA approved as primary prevention of any of those things. Now, primary prevention means that you take this medication to prevent any of those things. The difference between primary prevention and secondary prevention is you've had a heart attack, now you take a statin because we don't want you to have one again. So primary prevention is a big deal, but yet there is data to show that. Now, caveat, that data is if you start within 10 years of menopause, but hopefully the reason a lot of us menopause experts are making such a stink and so excited to create this movement is because we want women to be treated within that 10 years and ideally shortly after menopause when their symptoms are probably the highest and driving them crazy. So here we go back to the fact that menopause is not just hot flashes, but that is one of the indications. And for clinicians who are scared of estrogen, are not used to prescribing it, so they don't have any deep clinical experience in this, they're going to look for those hot flashes. There again and lies this danger that menopause is just hot flashes. Well, that's what's FDA approved for. So a couple things you could do. I can say this on my podcast because it's not as like public record as, Instagram or YouTube, but there's nothing stopping you from saying you have genitourinary syndrome of menopause and vaginal. All women have genitourinary syndrome of menopause. 100% of women have genitourinary syndrome of menopause. And this is because when estrogen declines, the pH of the vaginal tissue goes from acidic, where it functions the best, to basic, a higher pH. And this happens to everyone, whether you have vaginal dryness, whether you have pain with intercourse, frequent urinary tract infections. I bet you do have a lot of those things. Most women do. You can say you have genitourinary syndrome of menopause. You can, say that your menopause is, your hot flashes are severe. You can say that you have night sweats. You can say anything. Winkety wink. Now, today is like a content creation day for me. So I've been creating content and I actually just filmed a YouTube video about hot flashes. And what's interesting is that not all women experience hot flashes the same. The idea that not only is menopause just hot flashes, but it's this traditional hot flash that starts in your feet and goes up to your thighs and then to your belly and then up to your chest and then up to your head and then releases all the steam and then comes back down. Not all women have a hot flash in that way. I would seriously argue that just all of a sudden having heat intolerance, not being able to wear a sweater, that's a hot flash. It's not a flash, but it's the same physiologic process, which is that you have an inability to regulate core body temperature. That's basically what a hot flash is. And as I say this, I just feel this deep anger that women are so physiologically misunderstood and how long it has harmed women. All in the name of do no harm. Don't prescribe HRT unless she's having these terrible hot flashes that start in her feet and go up to her head. As I'm saying it, doesn't it sound ridiculous? It is. It is. I have patients tell me that they will go outside in a short sleeve shirt and shorts in the winter. That classifies to me as heat intolerance, which is what a hot flash is. And then to say that, you know, and I understand the comment. The comment doesn't make me mad. What makes me mad is the comment's true. Doctors will only prescribe HRT if your symptoms, if your hot flashes are severe, and if you've tried everything else. Listen to this, how hypocritical this is. Now, the same then lies true that they're not going to prescribe HRT off-label for things like mood or brain fog or, you know, joint aches and pains. But guess what SSRIs prescribed off-label for? Menopause. Do you not see the double standard? If you didn't get it, let me explain. SSRIs or antidepressants, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, are not FDA approved to treat menopausal symptoms. They're not FDA approved to treat hot flashes. There is one called Brizdel, which is paroxetine 7.5 milligrams. It's very expensive, and that is the one and only FDA approved medication to treat hot flashes. Antidepressants, gabapentin, clonidine, oxybutynin, other sleeping medications like i.e. trazodone or et cetera for night sweats or night disturbances from menopause are all used off-label to treat menopause. So the hypocrisy is that they'll use antidepressants off-label to treat your menopausal symptoms, but they wouldn't use HRT off-label to treat your menopausal symptoms, even though it would be a lot more logical, since as you've lost estrogen, replacing a very low dose of it, which is absolutely safe, which would also treat your GSM, which you probably have a hot flash here or two, it is safe. Do you not see the conundrum? And to me, all of this comes from the fact that, again, hot menopause is thought of as equating to hot flashes. Let's go a step further. We've talked about the preventative benefits of hormone therapy. This was seen the most in the Women's Health Initiative, the same study that scared most people from using HRT. This is the post-hoc analysis of the Women's Health Initiative. So this means that a couple years later, after the WHI was closed, they looked at all the data and stratified women by their different ages. And if you were within 10 years from menopause, not age 60, so throw age 60 literally into the garbage. I never want to hear anyone being told that they can't take HRT because they're 60. I see routinely patients in their 60s, okay? But the preventative benefits were seen if you started HRT within 10 years of menopause. Again, menopause happens at all different ages. I have a 23-year-old. I have a 37-year-old. I have a 41-year-old. I have a 47-year-old. I have a 56-year-old, okay? So 10 years from menopause is very individualized. This idea of 60 only comes from the idea that the average age is 50, but you're not average, I bet you. Thank you very much. Toss 60 right in the garbage. And the benefits of those reduction in cardiovascular disease, improvement in longevity, or basically a lower mortality, reduction in cancer deaths from all types of cancer, reduction in diabetes, was seen in the women stratified to the, you know, started the trial or took HRT when it had been less than 10 years from their last period. So this is a subset if you're following this conversation, and it's been a really long day, guys, of me making a lot of content. So if you're like, I need to listen to this twice, I'm feeling the same way. I'm right there with you. But we're going back to menopause just being hot flashes. It's not. Menopause is a huge transition that your body will undergo, and your body will never be the same. Doesn't mean that your body will never be perfect. And it also doesn't mean that you have to take estrogen. I never, ever want anyone to think that that is my message to you. My message to women, and the reason I talk about hormone therapy so much, is because for all of eternity up to now, and for the last generation of women to go through menopause, they've never been able to talk about the benefits of hormone therapy openly and freely and make their own decision. That's why I talk about it so much. And I prescribe it so much, and I see the huge impacts it has on people's life. And it's like, it's been under our nose the entire time. Like, menopause is not some new thing that we didn't know. We just literally ignored it. And not we, meaning me, just medicine and society in general, until basically social media and people started talking about it. And we've got some caring doctors and some menopause experts and some really loud clinician voices like myself, but it's not like the whole medical community is out there talking about the benefits of hormone therapy. So hormone therapy is not FDA approved for any of those indications, yet all the data shows this to be true, that when hormone therapy is initiated before 10 years of menopause, women live longer, die less from all causes, have less heart disease, have less diabetes. They also have improvements in bones, improvement in brain health, improvement in sexual health. They work longer and they thrive and they feel well. Even that statement alone demonstrates so critically how menopause is not just hot flashes. It's so much more than that. The entire body will feel the effects of the decline and then the ultimate, you know, loss of estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. And specifically when I'm talking about hormone therapy, a lot of people are talking about, most people that are replying to the comments are talking about estrogen replacement and then progesterone if you have an intact uterus. But also the impacts of testosterone, which I prescribe very commonly in my telemedicine practice and with my patients and when I see patients in New York City. The impact of testosterone is probably a very similar and whole separate conversation, because what I'm mostly alluding to now and talking about is a benefit of estrogen in terms of calling that hormone therapy. Sorry, my watch is dinging. My phone is dinging. You know, I never sit down and put things on private mode, and I really got to get better at doing that. All right, let's turn this into do not disturb mode on my MacBook. So I wanted to take the time and space to say that in summary, the perimenopause to menopause transition is the most important transition in a woman's life, because I believe as you spend the next 3, 4, 5 decades postmenopausal, where you ultimately can regain freedom, hopefully you've got financial freedom, you want to feel your best. We talk about generational wealth, but I'm starting to really lean into generational health. And when you really do look at the facts about hormone therapy, and most women, 90% of women, if not more, being good candidates for hormone replacement therapy, it is a disservice and it is harmful to think about menopause as just hot flashes and to not think logically and clinically about how hormone therapy can benefit so many women with such a wide constellation of symptoms, whether or not hot flashes is your, you know, most significant hot flash. And I will even go so far as to say that the majority of women that I see, for whatever reason, it could be selection bias, whether they have hot flashes or not, it's usually not the most quality of life impacting symptom. Sometimes it is, specifically if it happens at night and you can't sleep. But I hear women all the time say, yeah, of course they have hot flashes, but it's the brain fog I can't deal with. It's the pain with intercourse that's causing my marriage to fall apart. It's the joint aches and pains that are making me not exercise anymore, so I can't work out with my friends and I'm depressed. It's the fatigue that's causing me to just not want to get up in the morning and to cook and to bake and to feel and to thrive in the way that I know how I best function and feel healthy. So menopause is not just hot flashes. It cannot be reduced to that. You are still so valid in your menopausal journey, and you are an excellent candidate for hormone therapy, in my opinion, even though I'm talking to an empty room, whether or not you have hot flashes. I hope this has been informational, informative. Send it to a friend, share it with a friend. I'd love to see you as a patient.
I am growing my telemedicine practice. I am so excited. Affiliates who have been in my healthcare provider's course and I've been working with for almost, I would say 6-9 months, you know, are joining me to see patients in more states. And these are providers that I know are so well-versed, is so excited to see you. And so if I'm not in one of the states that you're licensed, we're going to also have, you know, nurse practitioners joining me, MDs, DOs. I am so, so, so excited because this mentality or my theory on menopause and medical, you know, HRT treatment and management, I am doing everything I can to not keep it with just me, but to spread that information to other doctors who are now so excited to get to see you and get to treat you. So you can get on my email list. That's going to be the best way if you want to know when new states are open. I'm going to give you a sneak peek. Arizona, Virginia, Maryland, DC, Oregon, Illinois, Pennsylvania. And for all of you in the new to the J, hopefully New Jersey, and more and more and more to come. If you didn't hear your state, don't worry. This is just for the next phase. And I probably missed one or two because I do everything based off of memory. But I am so, so, so excited for the menopause movement to continue into 2024. Thank you so much for listening. Share this. If you also are not in any of those states or you just want to start working with me and you don't know where to start, my book is a great resource. You can get it on Amazon. And thank you so much for listening, for your support. And let's do this, ladies. Let's do it. Let's live big in 2024.
Thank you guys, as always, for listening to this show. If you love the show, you're going to love my new book, Unlock Your Menopause Type. This book is really meant to help you identify and target and therefore best treat your most bothersome menopause symptoms. In the book, I go through all the different ways menopause can be treated with HRT, of course, non-hormonal therapies, and diet, exercise, and lifestyle. You can get the book anywhere books are sold. And if you are so inclined, please leave a book review wherever you bought your book. I will absolutely be thanking you. I hope you enjoy reading it as much as I enjoyed writing it.
If I haven't already done so, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening to my show. Consider subscribing so you never miss an episode. Also, if you love the show, your stars or a quick review could really help other women who are searching for information on menopause and midlife around the globe find this show. If you want to work with me, consider the Reclaiming Menopause Masterclass. The link for that is in the description to this show. Thank you again from the bottom of my heart for all your support, and I'll see you next week for a brand new episode.